Welcome to Midstorm, a comedy game design podcast by two guys who know nothing about comedy nor game design. I'm Trevor Scott, and with me, as always, is Ben Slinger.
Yes, I am. I've had the big breath after doing that all in one go. Well done. Just becomes second nature after a while.
It's a Thursday night.
Yeah.
Let's chill. Let's play some classic Click Pitch.
Let's do it. We've done it hundreds of times before.
It's a game where we each have a random word generator in front of us. On the count of 3, 2, 1, click, we're going to click that refresh button, get some words, throw them at each other, come up with a game design. It's, you know, nice and simple. They're just prompts.
Yeah. Something to start from, something to riff on.
Something to start from, you know, because coming up from nothing is too hard.
No.
We need something to get our brains into gear.
You need that spark.
So, Ben.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, click.
Speaking of sparks, fireplace.
Protein.
Okay.
So, there are two different ways that we can go about this. Because the first way I thought was cooking meat on a fire.
Yes.
But then I was thinking about making sweet love by the fireplace and-
That's the protein?
That's the protein.
I don't know. It
was a leap, but...
Look, I won't lie and say it didn't cross my mind. I was just not going to say it out loud.
Yes, get off that high horse. Come on, last week's episode was not that funny. It was all about, you know...
It was a bit real. It was a bit... serious. Yeah, so
it was a bit serious and a little bit more. This is us wanting to be game designers.
Yeah.
Now this is me being silly and saying the obvious thing that we were both thinking.
Yeah, semen.
Yes.
Okay. So what is the fire
protein snack?
As long as it's not protein powder, because then you should be drinking more water.
Speaking of dehydration,
is this part of the gameplay? You've got a meter.
I don't know
for how viscous
dry aged meat, and cooking that on the fire.
All right. So, I mean, even that's just a little bit boring. In that, I feel like there's something you can do with fire. Like fire is fun. Fire is unpredictable in some ways, but also very predictable in others. Like, there are particular rules that it, you know, adheres to. So, could this be almost a bit of a puzzle game sort of thing about, like, putting logs on a fire, maybe some physics involved where, you know, you have to, the kindling will catch, you know, the paper will catch before the kindling, before the logs. And then
see, when you were talking about, you know, fire has certain rules, I'm like, oh, he's going to go down. Like, how do we break those rules? And how do we, you know, have this as like, it's a platformer. It's a 3D collectathon where you're a fire running around setting, you know,
I think we
breaking the rules.
I think
and
we did
swimming
that
and stuff. I know, but that was in 2D. This is in 3D. At this stage, we've done every idea under the sun.
This is
a remake.
I don't think that's true. I think we've got plenty more junk in the trunk. That is not the right idiom for that. That's the one that came to mind.
Okay, so a puzzle platformer where we're sort of, you know, using fire
I was thinking less a puzzle platformer and more like... You've got a fireplace.
Puzzle game.
Yeah, you're dropping.
I put the platformer in.
I mean, there could be
platforming elements.
Maybe you're like little fire elves trying to like pick up fuel and ignition materials and whatever and throw them all into the fireplace in the right way. And it's about, again, the sort of the physics of it. And then you have to ignite it, right? I'm just picturing like two little guys carrying a big giant match that's slowly burning down and you got to get it to wherever your ignition point is fast enough.
It's a co-op style game, but cooperative. It's a co-op.
cooperative.
It's a co-op.
Well, I was almost thinking along the lines of like regular human basketball, almost sort of thing, where it has co-opish elements in that you're directly controlling different things, but where you have to really work together as a team.
Mm.
You know, up to a 4-player co-op or whatever to build this fire up and, I don't know, burn the most stuff or, have it burn for the longest or whatever. You'd have particular goals.
Now I'm literally picturing that your tiny little characters that just, they come in to people's houses and they, just try to set this thing on fire.
it just turns out, helpful. It's like, it's a bit cold in here. We'll just stick this match under the couch and see if this magazine burns and set this curtain alight and the owners will be toasty warm.
It's the only way. This fireplace isn't good enough. What do you
mean, central heating? I don't know what those words mean.
Well, this is central. It's central to the house. fire can just spread from here.
Yeah. Started in the direct center. All right, 3-1 click.
3-1 click. Wash.
Incurable.
Okay. Ooh. Mm. My mind has gone to the moment after in Serenity when Wash got impaled, that was kind of incurable.
Spoiler, yep.
I always hated that moment. This is like an offshoot game where after the fact they realized
Reaper having to deal with the knowledge of what they've done. Well,
no, I'm just thinking that,
treasure.
This is an alternate reality where. Mm-hmm. Maybe the thing wasn't incurable and maybe he was savable.
Right.
And he gets saved in the prologue.
It's the story we didn't see because, of course, as we all know from Serenity, he got impaled, they assumed he was dead, they fired him out the airlock, and that was the end of it. We pick up a minute after he's been fired out the airlock when he's picked up by-
The Blue Hand.
Yeah, sure.
People.
The Blue Man Group. And
yep. Well, I can't remember what they were called.
Close enough. And with their, inner planet technology or whatever, they heal him up. They put some stitches in him.
They put some blue gloves on him, and he becomes part of the Blue Man Group.
They actually seal him up with blue, the blue glove material. What's a glove made from?
I don't know. I can't remember. Nitrile? It's just latex.
Latex is the more, the word vinyl. I was thinking of. Okay. So, has he been brainwashed or is he just like, do the gloves have some sort of psychotropic,
I think so.
Drug in them?
But I think he starts getting flashes of his previous previous life as he's going through kind of, I'm thinking in kind of I'm going back to the well of no one lives forever again, like the idea of, the operative sort of thing. He goes on little missions trying to capture these people, but he gets these flashes of something's not quite right.
Yep.
And the idea of you don't find out until partway through the game that you are actually Wash.
Right. Is it like first person, like Nolf?
Yeah.
So all you're seeing is like your character blue with hands. Your blue hands, blue gloves on, sneaking around, headshotting people with silenced pistols, doing horrible things. And then at the start of one level, when you switch to your pistol instead of the pistol combo, there's two little dinosaurs that start fighting each other.
Or you dream that. You dream the two little dinosaurs. Yeah. And, people who know it's like, oh, this can't be. And then one level, somehow, everyone else from Serenity also survived. And you happen to come across them and they notice who you are. And that's what sort of sets it off. And it's then you're realizing that you're actually working for the bad guys and. Mm. you know, what you've been doing is actually wrong. And
so are you saying we, like, don't even couch this as a Firefly game?
Oh, it's 100% a Firefly game.
No, but, just- like, we don't tell the player until...
they know that it's within the universe.
Okay.
They know it's within the universe.
So, the player knows that, like, they're playing as the bad guys the whole time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is, you know, what is it like playing as the government, yeah, and, you know, live out all your wildest fantasies and then... It's a gut punch when it's actually all about Wash.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happened after the fact.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've taken out all the Reapers and all this sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I think this is in a post-Reaper world.
Yeah.
I mean, it's,
I really want to go back and watch that again.
It's been a long while since I've watched.
I know that Bianca hasn't seen it, so I'm thinking of getting her to watch the 13 episodes.
Oh, she hasn't even seen Firefly.
Nope. Mm. And then we'll watch the movie.
Yeah.
Because it's only 13 episodes. Like, it shouldn't be hard to get through. We might go into that after we finish Chuck, which we're
still
in season four of at the moment.
There you go.
Unfortunately, you know, bringing back Adam Baldwin, and you got to just power through that.
Yeah. There's too many things that these days that you got to power through, unfortunately.
You've just got to, you know.
You got to pick your battles.
Got to pick your battles.
All right.
And not watching entertainment is not one of those battles I'm about to go down. 3-1 click.
Yeah. Should find a good word. All right. Deep.
What?
Deep.
Deep. Partition.
Oh, deep partition.
Yes.
Sounds like the name of, like, an AI or something, or like a computer, like Deep Blue, Deep Partition. It's like a powerful supercomputer.
I kind of see this as like some sort of weird virus or something like that. Like, it's deep within the partition. Is this a Tron game?
Mm-hmm. Like, we could set it in the Troniverse.
Yeah. I hear that they're making another film of the Troniverse, and I'm like-
Yes. Yes. Thron. I assume they're calling it.
Thron. Yeah.
All right. Let's, what do we know about Tron? Because it's been a while since I've seen the movie. So, Buddy gets-
Master computer.
People get digitized into their, as programs, essentially, or there's other programs in there, I think. I can't remember.
Yep. And then you got, like, the-
They
Tron
fight
was
each
a,
other for
was
some
like
reason.
A- I say Master Computer, I think, Master Computer. But it was actually Master Controller. It was
Master Controller. Yes.
Yeah.
That was like the big bad guy. The big, the CPU, essentially. The big cone head.
And all I think about is from South Park, Moses. Because it was just like a Master Controller from Tron.
And then I don't know what happened in Tron Legacy. Or how they extended the lore, particularly. I watched it once.
Basically, Jeff Daniels ended up back in there. His son, came in, and it turns out that, like, the program that that Jeff Daniels originally created, looked exactly
Tron
like him.
Was
one of the programs,
right?
And he's like was the protagonist pretty much of the secondary protagonist of the first one. He was actually brainwashed in the second one.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, and let's just try to take the general themes, I guess. There's deep in the partition mines. There's a virus that's been sitting dormant.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And didn't realize it was a virus.
Oh, it itself didn't realize. It gained
sentience. It doesn't know. It just thinks that it's, you know.
It just thinks that the main thing to do in life is to consume. It doesn't see anything wrong with that. It's just how you grow and become better. And so, the fact that it's consuming all data on the system is what it should be doing, according to itself.
Exactly. So, you play, like, a program.
yeah.
who is infiltrating the mine to get this this character out.
Okay. So, you're trying to get- this is before you're aware of the virus?
You've just been, you know, sort of- your mission was to go in there and extract this
someone
person.
Someone was in there defragging, was in a, you know, a bite collapse.
Yep.
And you're the one of the rescue people.
So, you light cycle up.
Yep.
You know, your main weapon is, you know, the weird the frisbee-like-
disc, yep. Light things. Disc, whatever it is, yep.
And, you know, that's kind of how it goes through the game. It's very black with a lot of colour
sort of stuff.
Standard- but in the mines, yep. I'm imagining it's basically on a GPU mm-hmm. because of all the Bitcoin mining.
Right, okay.
So, effectively, you end up in a Bitcoin mine
uh-huh.
and you're trying to pull this thing out of the Bitcoin mine. I now think that is actually perfect for Tron to go there.
And when you pull it out, it's just that giant Bitcoin character from that terrible Bitcoin island, crypto island or whatever.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Cryptoland.
Cryptoland. It's like the mascot. No. Crypto boy or whatever.
Oh, God. If you haven't watched it, that's so fucking bad. I showed Ben at one stage and then we found out that it's like, oh no, this is 100% real. And
yeah. Anyway, so they shoot him in the head, put him out of the misery, and then they find the virus thing.
Mm-hmm. And what happens next is the second half of the game is you trying to now contain that mm-hmm. virus as it is literally eating everything.
So yeah, look, that's fun. I'm trying to think. I think there's two relatively modern Tron games that I recall. There was one first-person shooter.
Okay.
In, like, the Half-Life engine, I think. And then there was one that came out on the Xbox 360 generation. Because I had a friend who worked on that at the time. That one was third-person. So, I'm trying to think, like, what's our best... I actually kind of feel like this could work more as it is third person, but it's more of the like twin stick-ish view, sort of a top down, almost a Diablo-ish, I guess, but twin sticky controls.
Throwing those discs out.
Yeah, exactly. Throwing those discs out, being able to, that would really give you the ability to like ricochet them around because you can kind of you'll be able to see those angles a bit better and stuff. Yeah, maybe even a bit of that, mix between like a twin stick and a Diablo thing where you're getting a ton of enemies coming in at different points and special abilities and things. That could be cool.
Okay. So effectively your first part of the game is, you're doing like a normal sort of mission. You're getting used to the controls and all this sort of stuff. You do the light cycle sort of thing up. That's how you normally traverse the overworld. You just light cycle everywhere. Yep. You got to be very, very careful because you can't go back on yourself.
Yeah, you can still only do 90-degree angles. It's really, not a good
thing. You wanted to go diagonal and you're snaking your way up there. Yep. And then you turn it off and it's like, everything goes down. Mm. Thing is, you need to be very careful because if you block yourself into a point, you're going to, smash and kill yourself.
Maybe there's a bit of it. Cause I was just thinking, I'd love to see, advanced techniques for light cycle stuff. Cause I was trying to remember, but as you said, when they shut it down, all of the lines go away, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just picturing you like cycling through, you come around, you realize you've come around on yourself, you're heading towards the line. And so you just power down the bike. And you're still going forward,
roll right through the thing, bring it back up
in front of you, and then you fire it back up again to get your acceleration going, and you've got a new fucking snake line coming out behind you.
Okay, there's some
techniques around that.
I love that. You know, we're changing up the law that the light cycle was just a stick that sort of goes down originally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah. Well, okay. Well, that's
so you, you pull the stick up and then you're back down.
Right. I forgot it was that. So, yeah, it's not even just turning the bike off. The bike disappears. And you're just flying through the air.
You're just running.
You're running. You've just got the stick in one hand. And then when you, like, grab the stick back with two hands, the bike appears again. That's really funny.
I'm thinking that, you know, it's kind of like the old decathlon games where you had to, like, keep your fingers left going right, right, back, right, and right. Forth, back and forward, back and forward, back and forward. It's like, oh, you know that it's coming up, so you just start getting the fingers going, and then it's like, okay, turn it off, and it's like, okay, keep those feet going, and you know, get it back down before you fall off.
Because otherwise you just, like, face plant,
yep. And then it's just as bad as running into a solid light. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does everyone else remember Tron the way that we do?
I think so. There's a lot.
I think everyone remembers Tron. And it ends with Flynn, you know,
yep.
Jeff Daniels turning up and going, "What's going on?" And it's like, "Oh, Tron." It's like,
yeah, you know, except for some reason he's the dude from Big Lebowski instead of he shows up and like, wouldn't the carpet look good in here? Isn't that a thing? I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
It just comes in as the dude.
He just comes in as the dad from Fly Away Home with fucking Anna Paquin, all right? His most beloved character. That's him, right? Is that the right Jeff?
No, yeah, Jeff I've been Daniels. Seeing.
There you go. That's the right
Jeff. I've been seeing Jeff Daniels the whole time, but I'm not sure that it actually was Jeff Bridges.
Ah, shit! Fuck, I got it wrong the whole time. So I had the right Jeff based on who you said, but then yeah, okay. But it is the dude. It is Big Lebowski.
That is the dude. That is Big Lebowski. Yes.
But not Fly Away Home.
I started thinking
Jeff Daniels and Jeff Bridges Daniels are very was in similar.
Dumb and Dumber. Like, what the fuck? Right. That's not the same guy.
They're a different guy.
Jeff Bridges, I've been fucking up the whole time. I will accept that and go, I'm a dick.
Although Jeff Daniels, as like some of his characters, as
Flynn
in Tron, I mean,
oh, yeah.
Good work. All right, finish one quick.
Return.
Apparatus.
Ooh, okay.
So
I like this is like a sequel.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Of a game that has already existed and everyone knows about the
Return of the Apparatus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of getting the Room vibes of this. You know, the puzzle game, the Room, not the movie. Not the movie, the B movie, the Room.
Yeah.
In fact, Z Tommy, movie, Tommy the Wiseau. Room. Yeah.
Tommy Wiseau's Return of the Apparatus.
Oh, God, no. It'd just be all, you know, custard pies and all this sort of stuff because you think that it's comedy.
I don't know
whether you heard about that.
No, I don't know.
He tried doing another film and he said, you know, he tried putting comedy in it and it all just ended up, you know, slapstick
all
bullshit.
All his comedy is pies in the face. That's pretty funny, actually. Like, if he-
it's meta funny though.
It's meta funny. If he did it on purpose, knowing, understanding it, it would be funny. And if the fact that he's done that is also funny in a different way, because I'm just picturing a movie where like anytime something funny happens, there's just a pie in the face. Like there's some absurdist comedy there that could actually work. Sure it was not that. I'm sure it was.
It was not that.
He thinks comedy is pies in the face and seltzer bottles and fucking falling off ladders or whatever. Okay.
You know, he's just trying to capitalize on the fact that everyone thought that The Room was unintentionally funny and therefore it's, you know, one of the funniest films ever.
I think he might be one of the only
people.
This is
more the puzzle game, The Room.
Well, hang on though, because just before we go on that, I think that Tommy Wiseau might be one of the only people who could say, oh, people thought my last movie was really terrible, but then it got really popular because of that. For anyone else who did that and then tried hard to make another terrible movie, then the next movie would just be actually bad and not funny bad. But I feel like Tommy Wiseau is so separated from reality that he could try to make a bad movie and then it would be completely bad in a different way than what he intended and still funny. Anyway, Return of the Apparatus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But in a escape room-ish, the room puzzle.
Yeah, I think the apparatus kind of feels a bit, you know, otherworldly,
I definitely like that, like figuring out that what's good about those games is that satisfaction of figuring out, oh, that slots into there or like this opens. And yeah, for sure. I could get behind that sort of game.
Yeah.
I played one that was like that, where you are essentially constructing an alien spaceship.
Cool.
Which was cool, and having to sort of figure out the different symbols and how this ship fit together. But yeah, I like this as maybe less alien and more
ancient.
Either ancient or just like there was this guy, there was this genius who created this thing, and he's dead. He hasn't left, you know, much information about it.
It's sort of like he left this in his will, he left like his property to this company, and this company are going in and having a look at what they've been given. And there's technology there that they've like no one's ever seen before. And they're just thinking, why have we been, put into the will and all this sort of stuff?
Well,
and just
I like it as this corporate thing. Like there's an interesting take there, I think, where he left it in his will to, this like random person at this company who didn't even know who he was.
Yep.
But the company's kind of taken over on it and gone, oh, this has got to be something big. Like if we figure this out, it's something we can capitalize on, we can sell. And so they've shoved you in a room with it and they're like, fucking figure it out. Like we'll give you resources if you need them, but you need to figure this out. And so we can have some of that, like the trappings of how horrible capitalism is and the bad office stuff, and you keep getting messages coming up like, have you done it yet? You've got these horrible shitty middle managers.
You've been there for 15 minutes. Yeah. Have you done it yet?
Exactly. But as you
time is money.
Yeah. But as you're doing that, you know, you're slowly unraveling this thing.
Oh, the first message is 5 seconds after the door closes. Is it done yet?
So, how long do you think? As per my last email, is it done yet?
Oh, God. And just, you know, the more that you go down, it's like, I know that this was, you know, set to you, but you came to us, like, and we're providing you all the, all the tools at your disposal, like, you know, just requisition stuff. And
well, I definitely like that as a different, because usually in those room games, you might have a tool that you start with, like, they have the lens and stuff that you'll find to see things differently. But yeah, I like that. Yeah, you can just like go over to your computer or whatever and say like, hey, send me this tool. Like I need a fucking laser cutter. I need a crowbar. I need a whatever, and bang away at this thing. And of course there's only certain ways that will get into it. And it's pretty robust, which is why, you know, no one's been able to just smash it open. But you can try the different things.
Yeah. There's something about like having an actual external story to unravel at the same time as you're unraveling a mystery in the room.
Yeah. For sure.
Or in the mystery of the apparatus almost is just as intriguing as why is this company so adamant that they get inside? What do they know?
What do they know? You don't. Why were you chosen? Do they know why you're chosen? Yeah. Yeah. And I think you start getting insight into that as you go through the different sort of levels of it.
Yeah. I watched recently the movie Paycheck.
Ben Affleck.
It's
based on a Philip K. Dick.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
And that had some pretty cool things in the fact that, you know, Ben Affleck's character would come in and reverse engineer, but he'd get all his memories wiped so that, you know, the company could effectively, you know, keep all the knowledge to themselves, and, you know, he would get paid handsomely. But in this, what he was building basically was not necessarily a time machine, but something could actually look into the future and actually see certain things and predict certain things. But what he sent to himself was all these things that he could actually use to eventually destroy the machine and stop this future from actually happening, which I thought was really quite a cool idea for a story. But it gets me thinking about how evil this company could actually
also
be.
Well, also maybe this was sent to you from your future self.
Exactly.
Who had previously gone back into the past, made a name for themselves enough for that this company knew who you were.
And all you're doing is by this return of the apparatus is actually you're returning it back to your
it's like back to yourself, the future.
So that you actually set this whole thing in motion.
Well, yeah, by reverse engineering this apparatus, you learn how to build it to send it to yourself. It's the bootstrap paradox.
And where did it start? Well, that's the thing. It didn't.
Never.
It's always been.
It's an infinite loop. The Möbius strip.
Ooh. There's something about that. I like it.
That's cool.
I like
that a lot.
Where we've kind of gone with it. I think that, yeah, this apparatus could seem otherworldly and made of this world at the same time. Like, there's just something about.
I also like the idea of being, you know, in those room games. Escape room games often they're not very reactive until you figure out the solution, right? I mean, yes, you'll have things that slide back and forth and you need to figure out like the order and stuff, but I kind of like this one being you can fucking wail on it. Like, it's not really going to do anything, but it'll knock it about. Like, it'll be physical, you know, it's pretty heavy, but you can hit it with a baseball bat and it'll shift. You can fire a high powered laser at it and the outside will heat up red hot. And then when you stop, it'll cool down and there'll be no damage. And you're like, that's part of the mystery of it, you know, until you figure out, oh, actually, if I shine this, you know, this high powered laser into this lens and it refracts out at this particular angle, then it triggers something. It's like, oh shit, I got through the first layer. And you get that moment of, I figured something out.
Yeah.
But you don't know that it's the high powered laser out of, you know, the crowbar and the jackhammer and the fucking like acid and whatever else that you've requisitioned. That have had no effect.
There's something about that that's actually kind of cool. Yeah. Okay, let's call it there for the night.
Yeah, I think that's it. So, thank you for joining us. If you'd like to find all of our previous episodes online, go to podchaser.com/bitstorm. They're all there for your listening pleasure.
If you like the song that we play at the start and end of each episode, that song is called Mount Defiance off of the album Containment Failure by the band Kurudust. You can find it for free at kurudust.bandcamp.com. And go check out the rest of the album because it's kind of fun.
Yeah. So thank you again for joining us this week on Bitstorm. I'm Ben Slinger.
I'm Trevor Scott.
And I'm going to set this place on fire.
So am I. Central Heat.